Good evening, everyone. We're continuing in our learning of Pesukei Zimra. We're up to the parak of Haluka Hali Nafshi Es Hashem, which is found in Tehillim Kuf Mem Vav. The simple understanding of where this parak comes from in Pesukei Zimra is following the understanding of the Rif, who says, Yihi Chalki, my chalik should be for the people who are Gomer Halal. And the Gemara explains this refers to Pesukei Zimra, and as we mentioned, this includes, according to the Rif Ashrei, as well as the last five prakim of Tehillim, and Haluka Halina of Shias Hashem is included in that count, and it says subsequently right after Ashrei. The structure of this parak is actually four parts. The first part is an introduction that David makes declaring that he will pray Hashem throughout his life. That goes for the first two psukim. Afterwards, David then mentions in the second section, from psukim Gimel to Vav, he basically recognizes or expresses recognition that Hashem is ultimately the one, the source of support for man, and other people that man relies on are actually not reliable. The third section following from that, David then expresses different descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu protecting different people, executing justice, protecting those who are hungry, needy, Yisom and Almanos. And finally, in the last section, David HaMelech exclaims that Hashem's Malchus should expand forever. So going into the Psukim, David HaMelech exclaims, Haluka Hali Nafshi Es Hashem. Hashem should be praised, my Nefesh should praise Hashem. And the question the Mefarshim ask is, what's the emphasis of Nefesh? Why is David referring to his soul as being the source of Halal? So the Radak understands this to be in contrast to be a form of contrast. Haluka is literally translated as they will praise Hashem. However, David HaMelech is expressing that also the Nefesh, the individual Jew, in his own personal way, is going to also praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the praise that we're emphasizing, both public and private praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Hirsch notes, however, that the word Nefesh doesn't just mean a person, but the soul. And he notes, based off the Gemara and Brachos, that the soul is actually very similar in many, has many characteristics similar to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The soul is invisible, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invisible. The soul is the entity which allows the life force of the mankind to perform any actions. So similarly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well, even though he can't be seen, he is the source of everything else in this world to exist. So Rav Hirsch explains, based off that Gemara, that David HaMelech is expressing that Nafshi, my soul, is actually the most fitting entity to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu because its own self-awareness is a great giloy, revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And this, says Rav Hirsch, is the model of Halal, because the word Halal doesn't just mean praise, but it means to reflect. And the soul is a paradigmatic entity which reflects that expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what makes it appropriate for praise. After David HaMelech exclaimed that he's going to be giving praise, he then says, Ahala Hashem v'chayai, I will give praise to Hashem in my life. Azamar l'lukai b'odi, I'll give praise, I'll bring zemer to Hashem in my odi, in my state. And the Mefarshim will grapple about the double language, the two clauses, but also the nuances, why in the first part it talks about halal, and the second zemer, why the Shem Hashem is used in the first clause, but the word Elokai is used in the second clause, and the difference between Chaye and Odi. So the Radak understands these two clauses referring to different expressions of different mediums of praise. The first is Azama Hashem Bechayai, me as an individual, Be'odi, I will be giving praise to Hashem. Then the Azamra, and then I will be also Mezamra to Hashem, which the Radak understands means that's an expression of praise to the public. The Rambam has a different take on these two clauses, and he explains that the two clauses refer to two different experiences and relationships man has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first clause is referring to a general relationship a man has with Hashem. Hal Hashem b'chayai. In my life, the same way that everyone else lives, I recognize that Hashem is guiding it and running the show, running nature, and that's something, that interaction is worthy of praise. However, the David HaMelech exclaims that there's a deeper, more personalized interaction which he has with Hashem, and that is Be'odi, with the extra things that I'm given in life, and that's representative of Elokai, my God, there's a certain relationship I have with him. And that expresses itself in a higher level of song called Zemer, which is higher than Halal. Rav Hirsch understands that these two clauses similarly to the Malbim, with a little bit of a nuanced difference. He understands that the word Chaim is actually a greater expression of life, real living, versus Be'udi is representative of life when all of life's pleasures are removed from him, he's just in a state of being, Be'od, as he is. So David HaMelech exclaims he's going to be praising Hashem in these two modes of life experience. He's going to give praise to Hashem, Be'chayai, when he's seeing life in its fullness, he recognizes the Shem Hashem, which is a Midas HaChesed, that's one form of praise. However, there's a second expression of praise, even Be'odi, when life is tarred and there's tribulations and troubles. And in that time, he won't be able to sing a full praise of Halal, but only a zemer, a tune, a humming of a tune, unable to express real praise, articulating it because of the given situation. But nevertheless, he recognizes Alokai. He recognizes that there's this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu even during trying times. After David HaMelech gives us introductory remarks about praising Hashem as an individual, with his neshama, in his different contexts of experiences with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech then progresses by laying the foundation by exclaiming that we have to, it's appropriate to have one's faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not on people who are arguably unreliable. So it begins, Al tivtechu bin divim b'ben adam she'in lo sishua. Don't rely, don't have your bitachon on people who are willing to give, or people who don't have a salvation. And Rav Hirsch and the Malbim understand that this section is really a follow-up of the previous section. As explained by the Malbim, we just mentioned talking about Hashem's closeness with man, Elokai Be'odi, and this is now an expression of Hashem's closeness. He's protecting man, even though other people cannot, even though human beings cannot do so. Rav Hirsch understands it as well, following in his understanding that this section is a follow-up of the previous section, that even when a person is in a state of ba'udi, a state of affliction, with no pleasures in life, Hashem is going to be the one that's going to protect him. And that's a recognition of, I guess, Elokai, Hashem's connection with man. And this pasuk is really exclaiming that man is not reliable. Rav Hirsch and the Malbim both note that the word nediv in this pasuk refers to not a person who doesn't care about the individual who's suffering. He is altruistic and honestly desires to help the person. But nevertheless, David HaMelech exclaimed that we shouldn't rely on this person because ein lo teshuah, he might not have the strength to facilitate this teshuah. And as we'll see further, he might not be able to control his own life. He might be pass away before he's able to help. So the only help that a person really can have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as the Radak explains, all those who help a person in his trying times is because Hashem ultimately wants that to happen. That's Ratzon Hashem. He's the ultimate orchestrator of this person's life. David HaMelech continues to exclaim how we shouldn't rely on people, we should rely on Hashem. Teitzei Rucho Yishuv La'maso. If this person who's the Nadiv, he might depart his soul from this earth by Amhu of Du'a Shonasav. And on that day, his thoughts of helping will be removed and he won't be able to help. So contrasting to human beings, David HaMelech then brings in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he mentions Ashrei She'el Yaakov Be'ezro, fortune is the one whose help is the God of Yaakov. Sivro Al Hashem Alakov, whose hope or expectation rests upon Hashem, his God. The Radak notes that we emphasize specifically the God of Yaakov and not any of the other Avos or Klal Yisrael, because Yaakov was the one who went through a lot of different tribulations and troubles in his life, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu guaranteed that he'll be protected. And through this guarantee, as the Malbim explains, then Sivro, his expectation will be Al Hashem Elokov, with Hashem his God, who has this past history of protecting Klal Yisrael. He's expecting that to happen as well. Our first notes additionally that the word Elokov is not just Hashem, but his God. There's a relationship he has with him, specifically referring to Hashem as the guide of his life and the one who will bring him to his ultimate destiny. David HaMelech concludes that how do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help them, because Oseh Shemayim Aretz Asayamas Kol Asher Ba'am. Hashem made Shemayim and Aretz, the land and everything that's in it, the sin and all that's inside of it. Hashomer Emes Le'olam, he keeps the truth forever. He safeguards truth forever. And the Mefarshim Rashi, the Malbim, explain that this is a justification, that we guarantee we have our bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he created the world. He has complete control over all of reality. So of course, Shomer Emes Le'olam, of course he's able to fulfill his guarantees going on forever. He's dependable, both in our private lives and, as the Radak emphasizes, even in our national lives, being able to hopefully bring us to the Geula very soon. After emphasizing the importance of Bitachon and Hashem, and that he can control all of reality, there's this Hashkacha that Hashem has. David HaMelech then goes into detail for the next three Pesukim, from Pasuk Zion to Tess, about different attributes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives of protecting the people who are downtrodden, those who are afflicted in life. And as a background, just I'm saying this context, many of the Mefarshim, as we'll see, will explain this to be referring to individuals getting divine assistance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the Radak emphasizes that this is not just for individuals, but also for the nation of Klal Yisrael, that Hashem is protecting them in the state of Galus, and bringing them out into the Geula. So the first pasuk in the section writes, Oseh Mishpat Hashukim, Hashem does justice to those who are afflicting. V'nosu Nachem L'Reivim, gives bread to those who are hungry. Hashem Matir Asurim, Hashem releases those who are bound. There are three different attributes Hashem is given in this context, and the Malbim understands it actually in the reverse order. He explains that, unlike people, contrasting it to the previous section, unlike people, when they free a captive, they don't necessarily feel that they're obligated to do more because they've done their job of freeing the captive. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes beyond that natural human tendency and tries to do more. So the first stage is Hashem Matir Asurim. In time, Hashem will free the person who is bound. But even after that, Hashem does both two things. He does justice against those who were ashuk, those people who bound up the impoverished person, as well as Nosa Nacham L'Reivim, gives food to the person who was freed and is starving. Hashem supports him as well. This is an expression, basically, of Hashem's extra care and hashkacha over people in the world. Refresh also understands this pasuk to be read almost in the opposite order, but he understands it not in time, a description of order of time, but an order of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reciprocate to man. And he explains that the more we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Matir Asurim, that will enable the realization of Hashem's midos in this world, that he'll be Oseh Mishpat Hashukim, affect justice to those who are cruel and who are oppressing other people, v'nosin lechem l'reivim, and gives food to those who are starving, the people who are affected by the circumstances that they were found. The next pasuk continues, Hashem pekech erim, Hashem opens the eyes of the blind, Hashem zukeif kufufim, Hashem strains those who are bent, Hashem ohev tzadikim, Hashem loves the tzadikim. And there's a discussion about what the definition of Iver and Kafuf. Is it a literal interpretation or is it more symbolic? So the Radak understands that the word Iver and Kafuf are both referring to a symbolic blindness and a symbolic bending overness, in the sense that darkness doesn't just mean physical darkness, it means the galus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take us out of the galus. That's Pukech Ivrim, and Hashem's Zokev Kufufim, those who are poor and are bent over because of their status, Hashem will straighten them up and make them able to function. The Malbim understands that the Iver, the blind person, is both someone who's physically blinded but also intellectually blind, doesn't have the Chachma of Hashem. And Hashem, and the person who's Kafuf, is a person who's an Anav, a person who's bent over or doesn't feel that he has a lot of Chachma. And in both situations, Hashem will enlighten the person and heal the person in this given situation. Rav Hirsch understands that the word Iver refers to someone who's physically afflicted, and Kafuf is referring to someone who's emotionally afflicted, bent over because of some emotional trauma. In all these contexts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets involved and helps the person. Similar to the previous pasuk, The Mefarshim try to understand the context of Hashem Ohev Tzadikim in light of the first two clauses of the pasuk, Hashem Pekech Evim, Hashem Zokev Kevufim. And as mentioned before, the Malbim explains that this section about Hashem Ohev Tzadikim is really the modification or the explanation for why Hashem is Pekech Evim and Zokev Kevufim. And he explains that the more we have a loving relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more we're involved in that and deep in that relationship, the more Hashem will be more involved in actually helping, healing the person himself from whatever happened to him. Not just freeing him and giving him food, but affecting immediate healing. Refresh also has an understanding that Hashem Ohev Tzadikim is a modification of the first two clauses of this pasuk, but he understands it almost as a conditional point, in the sense that the way a person will retain this hashgacha is if a person commits to becoming a tzaddik, living a lifestyle of tzidkus, which is what Hashem loves. And that relationship, that commitment, enables this relationship to be further expressed with Hashem healing that person. We move to the last pasuk in the section, Hashem shomer es gerim, Hashem protects those who are sojourners, yasom v'amana, the yasom, the orphan, and the amana, the widow. Yodeit, he will make them stand. V'derech Hashem eves, and the rishayim, though their paths will be twisted. Putting it in context, the word ger could either literally mean a person who doesn't have the same social status as other people, as Refresh explains, or as the Radak explains, even refers to Klal Yisrael, on a national sense, because they're the ger and they're sojourners amongst the nations in their galus. The Malbim explains that this last pasuk is actually a continual progression of the last two pasukim, and he explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a very close relationship to those who are bereft of any protection. So they have a heightened level of hashgacha in this sense. So while we have a person, Hashem is protecting people who are as a matir asurim, that's one level of hashgacha. Then Hashem has even more protection of ohev tzadikim, but an even higher level of protection of hashgacha is for those who are downtrodden. That, and not only does Hashem protect them, He actually removes the people who are causing the problems, the derech Hashem mebeis, those who are trying to abuse these individuals. Hashem will not let them happen, and not let them be able to actualize their plans and take advantage of them. And that's an extremely higher level of Ashkacha. After discussing praises of Hashem and recognizing Hashem as the sole support of man, and the different attributes that Hashem has in His interactions with individuals and Klal Yisrael in general, David HaMelech concludes with a declaration that Hashem will rule forever. And the pasuk says, "Yimloch Hashem le'olam," Hashem's rulership will be forever. Elokayich, Tzion, l'dor v'dor haluka. Your God of Tzion will be also Malach for each generation, haluka, and they will praise. There is a discussion about if this pasuk is a prayer for a future event, or is it just a continual recognition of Hashem's malchus. The Rashi and the Radak understand this as a hope and prayer, hoping that Hashem's malchus will come into existence in the future, in the Geula, with Hashem's children, the Jewish people, existing, and also the destruction of evil in the world, which is almost basically a follow-up, really, of the Pasuk Tess, as the Radak explains that the Ger is referring to the Jew in Geulas, and the Rishama trying to defeat the Bnei Yisrael. So Hashem's the prayer is that Hashem ultimately will be able to finish them off and enable the Geula to come and have Malchus Hashem ruled. However, Rav Hirsch and the Malbim understand this as a recognition of the continual presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the world of the Malbim, following his famous theme, that this is actually a reflection of two different Hanagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are constantly in the world. The first one is Hashem's Malchus as the God of creation of nature. That's expressed Hashem Li'olam, Hashem the Creator, Li'olam, constantly always expressing this natural reign over the world. That's one type of Hashgacha. But the second one is Elokayich, which is Hashem's rulership expressed through miracles, and L'dor V'dor, overtly expressing miracles with different circumstances in different generations. That is also an expression of Malchus, and that is continual as well. Hirsch has a similar approach to the Malbim, understanding that these two clauses are referring to two different Hanhagos of Hashem, but he has a different take, and he explains that the first clause is referring to Hashem's kindness for giving life. Hashem, the creator of life, he's always ruling, he's always expressing his rulership in the fact that life exists. However, there's a second level of Hanhaga, which is Elokeich Tzion. Tzion is reminiscent of Kimi Tzion Teisei Sora, the Torah, the Ratzon Hashem, which is expressed through the Torah. And the second Hanhaga is Hashem using life as a guiding tool for man to attain his destiny, which Rav Hirsch explains is the emphasis of Elokeich, your God, meaning Hashem is the God of each individual who is trying to use life experiences and to guide man to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, which is expressed through the Torah. So to put it all together, Dovid HaMelech is trying to make a praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha over individuals. And he begins with an introduction, declaring that he's going to praise Hashem specifically through the nefesh as an individual using his soul, which has characteristics reflective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he wants to do this praise both for himself and for other people, as well as in situations where life is good, as well as situations where life is bad, but he recognizes that there's this deep connection which he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then in the second section, David HaMelech initiates the praise. He recognizes, number one, that we can't rely on people, even though they're good-willed and they have good hearts. We can't rely on them because they, number one, might not have the strength, and also they might pass away, and they don't have the control over their own lives as well. Rather, we have to follow our protection. We have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have this close connection with him, and we have this recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection, even when we're in Ba'udi, in a situation where we don't experience good pleasures. And the reason is because we have the past experience. Hashem was the Kel Yaakov. He protected HaKadosh Baruch Hu in difficult times. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu also was the historic, he created the world. So of course he has the ability to protect us, and he's going to maintain Shomer Emes Olam for the individual, protect the person's ability to survive through hard times, as well as a national protection, giving Klai Yisrael the ability to get to Geula. After recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one who's going to protect man, David HaMelech gives different expressions of that protection. Alternatively, it could be a reference to individuals, but also could be references to the nation at large. He first begins explaining that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects, executes justice to those who are affected by tyranny and feeds the hungry. And all this is an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's extreme hashkacha over mankind. Not only does he do the basic chesed of freeing man, but he goes above and beyond to support the person who is freed and also execute justice on those who have oppressed that person. Alternatively, it's a recognition for us to, the more we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu as one who's Matir Hashem, the more he will execute his hashkacha on mankind. Similarly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects and heals those who are blind physically, intellectually, on a national sense, in the Galus. Hashem protects them all and frees them from their state of being. Either because, as the Malbim explains, this is a deeper expression of Hashkacha, because there's a closer relationship, a relationship of Ava with man, or all this is because in reaction to the commitment that man has to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to live a life of tzidkus, of righteousness, and that elicits a deeper expression of Hashkacha. And the final expression of Hashkacha that is mentioned here in this parak is referring to those who are downtrodden, either because of their social status or they don't have a parent or a husband to protect them. Hashem is their protector. Hashem has a high level of Hashkacha in this context, and it'll protect them not only from situations but also from the people and defeat the people who are trying to afflict them. Ultimately, this parak concludes, after mentioning all the different types of Hashkacha that Hashem has over man, David HaMelech exclaimed that this expression of Malchus, this Hashkacha, should continue Lidor forever and Lidor Vidor. This refers to either the ultimate Geula, or refers to a recognition of Hashem's Hashkacha currently in the world, both in his interactions of his Midas HaChesed, of creating life, or his interactions, as Malbim emphasizes, of running the world in the natural course of events, and additionally through an added level of hashgacha, both in a supernatural way, as the Malbim emphasizes, or as our first understands, a hashgacha which is guiding men to fulfill the Rasan HaTorah, which is represented in Sion. And now, just taking a step back and putting this in the context of Tefillah, the reason why we're mentioning this parak after Ashrei, specifically, seemingly it is that after explaining the Hashgachas Hashem over the entire world, supporting man and all living creatures, through that Hashgacha, we now transition from Hashgacha of the world to Hashgacha of individuals, of people, and that is an additional praise that we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he's interacting with mankind in a more deeper and more personal way. And that itself is a praise that we're trying to emphasize in doing Pesukei Tzimra as well.